The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. For purposes of the sermon, and I think for purposes of understanding the gospel text a little more clearly, I'm choosing to translate a word that shows up as remain and stay by the literal Greek, which is abide. So keep that in mind, and you'll see it as I read through. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abided on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and abide is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where do you abide?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where Jesus was abiding, and they abided with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. For some of you, good morning again. I want to first let everybody out in the congregation know, inside your worship folder, you have a blue sheet. This is Taking Faith Home. And this week, we've got enough for everybody, so you can actually take it home. It can be used in a variety of ways, for personal meditation or devotion, for families, for small groups, committees, whatever. And today, the way I'm using it, I'm just referring to a part of the devotion. So can anybody tell me what this is?
An invitation.
It's an invitation. Have you ever gotten an invitation to a party or a wedding or anything?
Yeah.
I see that. Yeah?
Yes.
If you get an invitation, how does that make you feel? Happy? How come? Yeah. And does it make you feel special to be invited? Yeah, somebody you know, right. I feel special too when I get an invitation. So if you were here last Sunday when Pastor talked about Jesus' baptism, you might remember that he talked about Jesus being down in the water, and he talked about a movie and a scene from a movie, but then he also related that to Jesus saying, when he spread out his arms, do you remember what he said maybe Jesus was saying? Come on in. Come on in, boys, the water's high. It was an invitation. Oh, okay. So today, in the gospel reading that we just heard Pastor read, there's another invitation. I don't know if you caught that, so I'm going to read just a little part of it again and tell me if you hear the part that's an invitation. When Jesus turned, he's talking about the followers of John. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where do you abide?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where Jesus was abiding, and they abided with him that day. Did you hear the invitation?
Uh-huh.
What were the words?
Come
and see. That was the invitation. So Jesus could have answered just with the fact, "Well, this is where I'm staying." But he didn't do that. He answered with an invitation. He said, "Come and see," because he wanted to invite them to be in relationship with him, to be part of his family, a new kind of family that Jesus was starting. And Jesus invited Andrew to come and see. And then later, Andrew went home and talked to his brother Simon Peter and invited him. And Peter invited Nathaniel and said to Nathaniel, "Come and see." And it just kept spreading and spreading, and this whole new family happened of people that were following Jesus and where Jesus was a part of their lives. And they got to be part of what Jesus was doing, bringing life and love to everyone in the world. And that still continues today, doesn't it? When Jesus says, "Come and see," he's talking to you. He's talking to all of us and saying to us, "Come and see. Come be part of my family. Come help me bring this life and love in many ways." So it started with an invitation to just a couple of people, but it grew and grew, and our baptism marks us too as part of that family. And so we can continue the invitation to others. And when people say, "Why are you such a kind person?
I know.
What makes you care about other people? What makes you care about the world?" You know what you can say to them? "Come and see. Come see what life is like with Jesus at the center." Really? Is that fun?
Yeah.
I like the zoo. Okay. So through our words and through our actions, we can invite people to be part of that same family and be part of that same love. Will you pray with me? And fold your hands and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, may we help others to see you through our invitation, through our caring words and ways, and through our living faith. Amen. And I have an invitation for each of you. Thanks for coming up this morning. You can go back to your seats.
Well, I actually could say what she said. And you'll actually notice that. So, my lesson today, which we kind of didn't get around to when I was teaching the confirmation class, I had three questions. We didn't get past the first one. But the second one was going to be, what would your answer be when you hear that Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" What would your answer be? Perhaps the greatest need that we as human beings have is the need to belong, perhaps to be invited, to be connected to others, to be in relationship. In a kind of negative way, it strikes me that the current socio-political dynamic is really illustrative of this. Nothing matters more than allegiance to the political group in power, for those that belong to it. Nothing matters more to them than its cohesion. Neither facts, nor personal integrity, not the Constitution, not even Scripture. There's a total ostracism for anyone who questions or challenges the viewpoint of the central figure who holds this belonging together. And this belonging is to the status quo, generally patriarchal, white, straight, and based upon excluding. Those who don't fit these characteristics are often outside. This is a belonging, all right, but it's distorted. But it is the spirit of our age. And it might be characterized as a violent belonging, a belonging that is founded and maintained upon the exclusion of others, upon the dehumanization of others. Now, historically, we know that this problem, this violent belonging, built upon prejudice, stereotypes, and violence, has always plagued people. Scripture talks about it a lot. And scripturally, particularly within this Gospel of John that we're reading, we might identify this violent belonging, and I think John does. To John, this is the definition of sin. This is sinfulness. This is what plagues the universe. And it is from which God sent Jesus to save us. There's little doubt, based upon political commentators, social psychiatrists, psychiatrists, theologians, preachers and prophets, that rarely has such a spirit been more prominent and apparent. Now thinking about the Baptist. When the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," it's what he's talking about. It's what exactly this violent belonging that I have described with respect to our current milieu. Jesus has come to establish belonging to him. Just as Deb was saying, there's a special invitation. And so, therefore, also to God. Not by threat or violence, but by invitation. Jesus has come to challenge all violent belonging that depends upon rendering others as second class or valueless, less than human. Now, you may be noticed that I am clearly saying that some have learned to use violent belonging as an organizational strategy, politically and socially. But that does not get all of us off the hook, for this is something that infests the entirety of the world. And we each, and I will just speak for myself, understand how we can all act in this kind of way. It is the sinfulness for which Jesus came to save. The language that the gospel writer John uses and reports Jesus using also is that term that I lifted up in the reading, abiding. It is this abiding, this relationship, this embracing of all is used to counteract violent belonging. It's a term of deep relationship, of mutuality, of care, of love, of connection. In short, of seeing others as children of God. The Spirit of God descends upon Jesus and abides with him. This spirit of welcome and connection, this spirit abides always with Jesus and really defines his divinity, if you will. And so John is able to recognize Jesus as the one who is open to all people, as the one who is abiding in God's Spirit. This is what John sees and recognizes. And he also knows that he's quite not up to it himself. And Jesus knows that abiding is what we are all looking for. So the answer to the question is, how do we belong? How are we embraced in family? To be in it, abiding, is to be in the realm of God. So when Jesus asked the two disciples, "What are you looking for?" what is their answer? Where are you abiding? They're really saying, where is life? Where is relationship? Where is family? Not just asking, hey, where's your apartment? No, they're asking the deepest and most profound question of life. They are desperately seeking an abiding relationship, to know the truth of their humanity, the purpose of their being. And Jesus says, come and see, and you will see something very different than violent inclusion. Come and see is an invitation which echoes down through the ages to our children here, to you all out there, to all people who hope, who long, who yearn to be connected, to be real, to understand the truth of themselves and the purpose of their lives. Come and see. Come and enter the new age, a new way of being. And as we think about it, as we read the story, we will see. We will come and see as we enter the scriptures that this is the substance of Jesus' ministry, this broad invitation, this inclusive welcome into the family of God. In the Gospel of John, to the Samaritan woman at the well, to the blind man, to the sick, to stranger, and also to rich and poor alike, to Lazarus from the grave. Nothing, not even death, excludes, which the raising of Lazarus proclaims. And then Jesus' own death, death at the hands of violent belonging, death at the hands of those who have excluded many, death which causes Jesus then in the garden at the resurrection to ask Mary, what? Who are you looking for? The same question that we begin the gospel with. Always it's in our hearts. You always belong to me, says Jesus, and I always belong to you. The invitation is everlasting. Now tomorrow, we are reminded of this message. We are reminded of Christ's message in the disciple, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose proclamation and legacy is one of what? Nonviolent invitation, nonviolent action of inclusion and welcome. Jesus' political and spiritual strategy was always to challenge exclusion, violent belonging, and death with actions of welcome, healing, humanizing, and invitation. Jesus chose to challenge dehumanization by practicing humanization toward the lost, just as Dr. Martin Luther King does. This strikes me as Dr. King's strategy and spiritual way of being, to which Christ and Dr. King's legacy calls us all. Come and see. Amen.